Welcome to the Wine or Milk podcast, where each week we rewatch and review nostalgic movies and media from our childhood to see if it aged like wine or milk. I'm Jess.
And I'm Kyle.
And this week we're going to be watching the 1984 classic, The Terminator.
The Terminator! This is so fun. I'm a big sci-fi person and I've somehow never seen this.
Do you think it's a coincidence it came out in 1984 and the book 1984 talks about like a dystopian future?
Maybe they planned it like perfectly. They were like crunching at the end, like, we have to get it out this year or it won't make sense.
Or like James Cameron was like, I have a great idea for a film that we're going to shoot in 2 years. So it comes out in 84.
Yeah, he had the idea for it. He just sat on it for a really long time.
I just thought of that as I was speaking, so.
I'm finding this a lot with movies that came out before I was born. But like, I don't know. I figured this was a 90s film. I don't know why. But 1984, like, that really warps my mind.
I mean, I watched it in the 90s because I was born in the 90s. But I knew it was older than me just because my mom talked about watching it.
Mm.
Like, that's who I watched it with initially. And she brought up, like, oh, I saw this in the movie theater, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm also a little impressed. I haven't seen this film. I really don't know all that much about it beside, like, you know, just kind of stuff that is in the general cultural zeitgeist.
Oh, God.
Just, like, has been so popularized that you can't help but know about it.
Like so, what?
Like, just the general story about it being, like, about Sarah Connor and, I guess, her son, you were saying to me at the end of our last episode. And they're, like, the only people that can get in the way of the future robots controlling the world, and so the future robots come back in time to stop them and stuff. But one thing that I feel like I remember, and I think it's from this movie, is like the Terminators, they like can change their face or something, and like because they look like robots and then they can like kind of meld into other stuff. I think I just feel like I've seen a clip of like special effects happening where something like that happens. So if that's this movie or even one of the sequels, like the fact that that's mid-80s is really impressive.
I think you're thinking of the Terminator 3.
Terminator 3, okay.
Yeah, and that one was definitely, that one might even be early 2000s or like late 90s,
Terminator 3. Oh, wow. 3. Okay, so scratch all that. Maybe I don't know. Maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger can't do that stuff, but
I'm pretty sure Arnold is Arnold throughout the whole movie.
Okay.
For this one.
Also, just like we have the poster up in front of us, like, dear Lord, what an attractive man.
He looks,
like, that's just unfair.
He looks photoshopped, but yeah. He's not. That's yeah. The thing.
If anything, they probably had to like slim him down to look more human because he's just so jacked. Like, look at that chest. It's insane.
His jawline could cut glass.
Literally.
He could literally shape diamonds with his jaw. It's unreal.
That's insanity. I also like that, I guess, Arnold was such a big actor and like action star at this time. That the top of the poster, literally just in all caps, the most prominent words on the entire poster is Schwarzenegger. Even more prominent than the name of the movie.
I mean, he's a big get. He's a big get for Mr. James Cameron. So
the governor.
Maybe that was his stipulation, his contract, is like the only person that can be listed in credits on the poster is me. Like if I'm in a movie, that can be the only name on there.
From what I know about him, I think he was probably like humble about it and they were like, no, we have to use you for our advertisement.
He's like, don't even put me on there, I want to be uncredited role.
Yeah.
So you know, basic premise, is there anything like you said in the zeitgeist, is there anything like in pop culture that you know about it?
I think I know like general quotes and like what might now be known as memes, like I'll be back and stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But really not a whole lot. Which is really exciting, because I feel like for some of these old things that are really popular, it's really hard to not know what they're about.
Yeah.
Like, when Endgame came out, was it Endgame? Which one's the third Avengers movie? Is that Endgame?
Endgame's the last one.
What's the one before that?
Endgame.
Yeah, like, good point.
The final one.
What's the one before that?
There's like an infinite. I'm not a big
Infinity War.
Infinity War. That's two, maybe. Yeah.
Like we hadn't watched any of those movies until like after Infinity War came out, and like obviously we both knew what was going to happen because it was just everywhere. It was everybody was talking about it. You know, like I feel like the fact that I'm still somehow going into this movie blind is like kind of sheer luck. And People have probably talked about it around me and I've just forgotten because I'm not, I don't have a very good memory. Anyway, because you have seen this, what do you know about it? Try not to spoil me. And what did you think about this movie when you saw it? Like, what is your nostalgia around this film?
Yeah. So growing up, the cable company messed up. We used to have like a cable box and like you can scroll through and then there was pay-per-view, which I thought was paper, like P-A-P-E-R.
Like gotta get that paper.
Yeah.
Get that paper.
Anyway.
Parks and Rec, come on.
I know.
I thought you would have liked that reference. They messed up their pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view though. We got pay-per-view for free. Like constantly. It was just like a channel on our box that we never paid for.
One of your neighbors were probably paying for it and being like, where are our movies?
I don't know. It was just like a channel that it was just running constantly.
That's pretty cool.
So, but it was only my parents' room. So we'd have to go in my parents' room on their bed and watch. So that's where I watched The Terminator. But I've seen The Terminator 2 and 3 a lot more.
Than the first movie?
Yeah. I've only really seen the first one a handful of times. And it always confused me as a kid because I was still like kind of like sussing out, oh, a sequel is not the same movie. You know what I mean? This comes after. It's part two.
How old were you when you saw this, you think? Because you said you were watching it like in your
parents' room and stuff. I was young.
Yeah?
I was pretty young. I couldn't give you an exact age. Maybe like 8 or 9.
Oh, cool.
Because Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's the bad guy in the first movie. He's trying to kill Sarah Connor.
Don't spoil me, though.
I know. That's a very basic premise, though. You know? But in the second one, he's the good guy.
Oh, there it goes. Now I'm spoiled. No, I knew that.
So when I was a kid, I was always confused. I'm like, is he supposed to be good or bad in this one? And I was like having trouble differentiating between the two sometimes.
Yeah.
Because also, I feel like I wasn't allowed to watch all the scenes because some of it was pretty violent.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of, just, I like remember clips in my head. But yeah, the storyline, I remember the second one better and the third one better. This one, I just know Sarah Connor is either pregnant with Sean. Or she's going to have him in the future and they're trying to assassinate her. So
wait,
her
there's
son
a character
born.
Named Sean Connor?
Isn't that... Sean
Connor?
Isn't Sean Connor the son?
Like Sean Connery?
I mean, you added a lot of extra syllables to the end of that. I'm pretty sure his name is Sean Connor. I could be wrong.
I don't know. Just, that's funny.
Essentially, though, you're right. Sean Connor is going to be the one that, like, overthrows the AI in their post-apocalyptic world in the future.
Yeah.
And the Terminator is trying to stop that from happening by making sure he's never born.
It's pretty impressive that this...
There's a lot of guns.
Sentient AI. Oh, yeah. Skynet. That's what that's called, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is able to literally develop the technology to go back in time, but isn't able to stop a human.
That's how smart Sean Connor is.
That's how
he's playing 4D chess.
Dude is.
That's how good he is. Even as a fetus or an embryo, he's already like crushing the Terminators. Yeah. There's a lot of guns. I remember that.
That makes sense.
And, it's just an action. It's just like a classic sci-fi action movie.
There's something fun about action movies. They're really just, it's nice to sometimes get into them and just sit down and watch them, you know?
I feel like this is peak Arnold.
He's done so many roles, it's hard to say that this is what he's most well known for, but like, potentially this is what he's most well known for.
In my head, it is. I mean, I love The Kindergarten Cop. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. It's probably my favorite Arnold movie, but if I had to go back and say, like, this is probably like the pinnacle.
There's also a ton of other movies than The Terminator and Kindergarten.
Those are the only two that matter to me. Those are the only two that matter to me.
Like, I mean, like, just a billion. But anyway.
Can you name one?
Jingle All the Way. The Expendables. But yeah, I'm pretty excited to finally see this. And like I said at the end of the last episode, things that I enjoy in life, literature or whatever, have lots of big backstory, big world building, lore that you can kind of engross yourself in. My understanding is that this movie has a whole lot of that. I mean, it has it's its own, like, basically media empire at this point. It's had so many spinoffs and everything, you know? So I think I'm going to really enjoy learning about the Terminator, kind of getting hooked a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling I'm going to watch this and just want to, like, dive into the whole series, really.
There's like tons of backstory, and I think this is gonna be right up your alley. I'm also sorry, I'm getting slubbered with my words because I just took a little peek at Wikipedia, and her son's name is John Connor.
Ah, so close.
I don't know why I had Sean Connor in my head, and it's kind of embarrassing, so I want to correct that before we go any further. So clearly I don't remember a lot, so this will be kind of like I think this is going to be a movie where I'm watching it and I'm going to be like, oh, wait, that's right. And things are going to come back to me as I watch it.
Yeah.
But I don't know any specifics.
And like you were saying, I like when the way that movies and stuff do world building is they kind of allude to bigger plot points that they're not showing in the film. Like Star Wars did this. Remember the first like Star Wars movie? They're referencing all this stuff and you're like, what the hell are they talking about?
I hate that because when I watch those movies and I know you've seen it, I'm like, wait, Kyle, what does this mean? What are they doing? What's going to happen next?
Yeah, and I'm just don't stop asking questions. Dude, you just got to watch. You just got to watch the movie.
And I know I'm doing it and I'm annoying myself, but I just need to know.
But I like that type of thing where like, even as you're consuming the movie or the book or whatever, it's already piquing your interest and you're wanting to go explore other things. I really like that. So I think I'm going to love that about this one.
Yeah. I think this is one of those worlds too that extends beyond just the movies. Like there's video games. I think there's a TV show.
There was. I remember that. That was on when I was like in high school, I think.
And there might be comics as well.
Probably.
So it's one of those things that it's across many different forms of media too. Yeah. That you learn more about the world and everything. So.
Yeah, I'm excited. But yeah, if I had to guess, I would probably say that this one is going to age like wine. I think something that might get in the way, I kind of alluded to this very early in the conversation. I think for such an old movie, practical versus special effects is going to be really, really important. I have a feeling it's going to really lean heavily into more practical effects. And so I'm hopeful that it does because I think that'll help it age better.
Well, it scared the shit out of me as a kid. So I'm going to stand by the fact that I thought it was really real.
Cool.
But, you know, I also thought the eyeball from the Mummy movie that we watched, Under Wraps, I thought that looked very real as well.
Oh boy, yeah.
So, 8-year-old me might not be the best judge of effects and realism of violence because, you know, I was 8. I thought that slapping my brother for stealing something off my plate was the epitome of violence in that moment. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a wine. I would be surprised if it was a milk. It definitely is possible, but I just feel like because it's such an icon in movie culture, it'd be hard for me to imagine it aging so poorly.
Yeah. And one thing I'm interested to see how they handle is Sarah Connor's character. My understanding is she's the main woman. She is the main protagonist of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that she's written pretty well. And like everything I know about Sarah Connor as a character, as an icon even, is that she's like a pretty bad bitch.
Yeah, no, she's a badass. I remember her sweating a lot in this movie. So I feel like she's doing the work, you know? She's in it. Like, she's not just like getting dragged along, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think she was bleeding at one point and she was like having to medically assist herself. I don't know. I just remember there being sweat and blood and she's like in the action.
Yeah, so like I'm kind of excited to see an action film with a badass leading lady as well. So
yeah.
I'm hopeful that I'll be able to deliver on that. That'll be another bit of like the criteria for me on how this one ages is mm-hmm. how they portray, you know, a strong leading woman in an action movie. What I'm imagining in my head is that they do a great job with it. I'm hopeful that's the case.
I'm just thinking about like also what a great name for an assassin, the Terminator. It sounds like he's a wrestler and like that's his like stage name.
It's pretty good.
You know what I mean?
You immediately know what it is, but you're also like, man, that works.
There's intrigue.
It rolls off. You can use it as like its own thing without like only referring to the verb. You know what I mean? Like it's a noun and a verb all in one. It's great.
You've been terminated by the Terminator.
Yeah, it's so good. But anyway, I'm excited to go watch this. So why don't you give us some facts about this movie?
Came out in 1984.
Cool.
Very Orwell of them. It was directed by James Cameron. I think this is one of his earliest successes. So maybe this even put him on the map, potentially.
Potentially. I mean, he's obviously gigantic now.
Yeah. I'm just thinking Titanic was definitely after this. Avatar was after this.
Only by a little bit.
I wonder how the effects on that actually aged.
I'd be excited to watch that one again.
Yeah.
I watched it like somewhat recently, you know, like within like the last 5-ish years, maybe. I remember it holding up.
When did you watch that? I was not around when you watched that.
I think I watched it when I first got the TV that we still have. because it's supposed to be able to do 3D, but I never figured out how to do it. And then I just watched Avatar anyway.
I feel like that's just like a rumor that they put out. They were selling TVs with 3D glasses and they're like, oh, watch Avatar. It's going to be amazing. And then like no one I know has ever watched Avatar in 3D in their home.
Not in my eyes. I saw it originally in 3D. That's not what we're talking about though. Keep giving us statistics on this movie.
You have a whole episode on just James Cameron. Yeah. So directed by James Cameron, produced by Gail Ann Hurd, written by both James Cameron and Gail Ann Hurd, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Michael Biehn, Linda Hamilton, Paul Winfield, music by Brad Fidel. And yeah, 1984, 107 minutes. Kyle, do you know how long that is?
That is an hour and 27 minutes. 47 minutes. God. Hour 47.
Yep. So that actually has a pretty decent movie time for me.
Yeah. Especially for an action fantasy like setting, like I think you need a little bit more of that time to help with that world building.
You got to put the setting down.
Yeah, exposition is key.
Mm-hmm. It also, can't just be all action, you know, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah. Also, though, this was a wild, runaway, critical, absolutely amazing success. $6.4 million budget, which seems incredibly small, but made $78.3 million at the box office. Pretty wildly successful.
That's a lot of money in the 80s. It's a lot of money now. It's a lot of money in the 80s.
What is that, like a 13 times return?
You're really trying to do math a lot this episode. Trying to redeem yourself.
Redeem myself, yeah. I'm really excited. So let's go watch this. And I can't wait.
I actually really hope there's a lot of like 80s music too.
Ooh, yeah.
Like 80s anthem in the background, you know what I mean? For all the action. I'm excited for that. Anyway, hasta la vista, baby. I'll be back.
We'll be back. Bach. Was that any good?
Was that supposed to be a Michael Scott reference?
Yes.
Doesn't he do that when he comes back from quitting, rescinding his application for Jan's job?
Yeah, kind of. He says, I'll be back, and I am back.
There you go.
For good.
Well, I'm glad you went that route, because I was going to start our return by driving our car through the house.
That's better than, or that would be worse than what I did. Yeah. So
yeah. Well, that's
thanks for not doing that.
That's what Arnold did. So
no special effects, only practical effects on this podcast.
We've gone through three Subarus doing this take.
Yeah. That was pretty fun. I'm happy that we watched that.
What did you think? Did it live up to the hype in your head of what the Terminator was?
Well, I'm certainly not going to tell you that right now.
I don't get a little preview?
No, we got it.
I don't get a sneak peek even as your wife?
No way. We gotta go through all the right steps. Although we did break tradition one time. I don't remember what movie that was already.
They all blur together.
They all blur together.
I think we watched a movie about this guy who stole Christmas, and then he went to this Pokemon trainer's house.
Yeah. That'd be fun. Grinch Pokemon trainer. Anyway, we're off the track. Do you want me to give you a synopsis of The Terminator?
Yeah, I already forgot most of it already. And it
wow,
was just a night
that's
ago.
Not good. Luckily, I didn't. I remember a lot of this, and it was really fun. The movie starts in L.A. 2029, which is upsettingly near.
Yeah, and I also, the way they portray L.A. as a barren nuclear wasteland, I'm like, wow, things are not looking up for 2021. We're heading on a bad trajectory. 2020 was the start of the beginning of the end.
Well, I think in this universe, the beginning of the end was like in the late 80s. So I think we're okay. I think we avoided the Terminator future. I'm going to knock on wood.
Yeah, please do, because I don't want anyone jinxing anything for this coming year.
Anyway, LA 2029. We see lasers, a flying ship, some tanky thing.
I wrote, is this Star Wars? I was waiting for the X-Wing to come through.
Yeah, right. And the ground is littered with skulls. Then we get the opening credits. And I think we get this little world building, title card that says, the machines rose from the ashes of the nuclear fire. Their war to exterminate mankind had raged for decades, but the final battle would not be fought in the future. It would be fought here, in our present.
My note here is that I probably could have made these opening credits myself in PowerPoint circa 2005.
Yeah, opening credits, like, the quality of them was, like, not that great. It was really just text with, like, a fake blinky cursor. It wasn't all that much.
It wasn't up to the Kyle standard.
No. But we jump to L.A., 1984, 1:52 a.m.
I like the precision here.
Well, they told us, so I figured I'd write it down. There is a electric storm in this, like, trash truck. What are those called?
Dumpsters?
Dump truck? No, that's a different thing. It's a truck that picks up trash.
A garbage truck.
Garbage truck. Thanks. I couldn't remember the word. I wrote down trash truck in my notes.
I like the alliteration on that, though.
Trash truck. A naked dude flashes into existence, and we get a great shot of Arnold's butt. And then a little while later, his full-on peen.
I like
just hanging brain.
I liked the male nudity, to be honest. You don't see a lot of it.
You don't. Especially full-on groin. You see a lot of dude butt, not a lot of dude peen.
Progressive for the 80s.
It was pretty good.
I would say, too, the one thing I noticed about Arnold is he is so yoked, as the kids say these days.
It's insane. His chest is just... It's nuts.
His arms can't go down at his sides. He's got to walk with them out because he's just so impressively large.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. He is absolutely jacked.
You could give me... Well, first of all, I'm a girl, but you could give, if I was a dude, right, with similar body type to myself now, I feel like you could give me 100 years to try to train my body into that shape. I could never achieve it.
Oh, I'm 100% certain I could never look like that, no matter the situation. Even with steroids.
I'd have to wax your chest.
That's true.
To get out the wax.
But yeah, naked Arnold goes up to these punks in LA and he says, give me your clothes.
We're going to do that this whole episode?
I won't do it the whole time. And this dude's like, no. And so Arnold just punches straight into him. Just right up into his body. And like, it's pretty gross.
That is gory though, as I thought it would be.
No, pretty not gory movie, which was nice. Then we cut to an alleyway, and there's another thunderstorm thingy, and a much less jacked dude zaps into existence.
Still in good shape.
And still naked.
Don't disparage him. Still naked. Still pretty ripped.
But we don't see his peen. He...
I like the distinction.
He runs away from the cops, steals a shotgun out of their car, which was wild to me.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the cop didn't lock his car door.
I think that's actually pretty common. Steals the shotgun right out of the car, runs away, and he opens up the phone book and looks for Sarah Connor's name. We cut to a woman on a moped driving to work, and presumably this is Sarah Connor. I think they might actually say her name in the scene here, but she's basically just a waitress at work, and she sucks at it.
A little harsh. She's a nice person, though. She's kind. She just gets a little overwhelmed serving the tables.
Yeah, so she sucks at that part of her job. That's
I mean,
all I'm
a
saying.
Kid put a scoop of ice cream in her pocket, I'd be
Which
pretty
upset. Which was pretty badass, actually. I was impressed by that kid.
Oh, man, I felt so bad for her.
Especially a kid being okay with giving up a full scoop of ice cream.
He did it for the vine.
Yeah. We then cut back to Arnold. He is jacking a car, just, like, rips the console right off of it and, like, twists it with his fingers to get it to start. I don't know if that's how it works, but I was impressed.
If we ever rewatch this movie, I'm going to count how many cars were stolen during the making of this film.
Oh my god, yeah. It was at the very least 4, I think.
Oh, way more than that.
Well, that's why I said at the very least.
I would say at the very least, I'd be willing to say 6 or 7.
Wow.
6.5.
Yeah, it really could be.
6.5 including 6. The motorcycle.
So, Arnold jacks a car. We cut over to him and he's buying guns. He asks for a laser gun. But then he's like, actually, just give me everything you've got, basically. And then just shoots the dude. He just murders him. Just shoots him right in the chest.
Well, yeah, he was trying to do his due diligence and say there's a 21-day wait on certain weapons. This is what happens when people don't care about gun control. They just...
Yeah. Also...
shoot the owner.
Like, letting him load the shotgun. Like, don't, you know, have the ammo and the gun right out on the same... You're just asking. Well, okay. He's not asking for it.
Victim blaming over here.
But I'm just saying that the gun store owner could have shown better restraint, better gun control of his guns. But he probably still would have been murdered by future robot.
Still wants to make the sale for one. And for two, I have never bought a gun, so I don't know what the policy is on ammunition and are you allowed to load up your guns at the store.
Well, the dude tells him he can't do that. He's like, you can't do that. And he's like, I do what I want. And he shoots him.
I thought we were done with the accent.
That's just me talking. I have a cold.
Oh, God.
Okay, so then we cut over to the other future boy who now has more clothes. And he's sawing off the butt of the shotgun to hide it better.
These people from the future really like their weapons, is what I'm gathering.
I mean, that does make sense given the future that we saw in the opening. Arnold also goes into the phone book and finds the listing for Sarah Connor, of which there are three in L.A. He goes, finds the first Sarah Connor in the phone book, shoots her. Boom.
Boom.
Dead. Cut back to Sarah Connor at her job. And her friend is like, you're going to love this. And it's news about Sarah Connor getting murdered, which was a little bit weird to me. Not really sure why her friend thought she would love that. Somebody who lives in the same city as her with the exact same name just got murdered.
I mean, it's a weird coincidence at the very least.
How about like, you're going to be interested in this, or you'll never believe what happened. Not, you're going to love this.
Or, I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah, right? Even that would have made more sense. Anyway, other future boy. He jacks a car and ends up like taking a nap in it, basically. And he has like this flashback, which is technically a flash forward to 2029. And it's like kind of like a PTSD scene where he's like remembering fighting the robots and stuff. This friend of his gets zapped and she just like disintegrates, basically.
Yeah, fallen comrade.
Flashback to the past, our present. And Sarah Connor answers the phone to this guy being really sexy on the other end. This dude's name is Matt.
Yep.
And Matt is Sarah Connor's roommate's boyfriend. Her roommate is named Ginger.
I'm obsessed with Ginger, to be honest, because all she does is listen to music, go on dates, and eat lots of snacks.
Yeah.
And like, what more can you really want? I mean, probably a lot.
To not be dead.
Yeah, to not be murdered.
Spoiler alert.
By Arnold. But, I mean, she really set the bar high for a great Friday night.
Yeah, I guess so. So, we then flash over. There's lots of different scenes. They really cut between a lot of stuff.
They're setting up a lot of plot points.
Yeah, which it wasn't
to bad. A lot of characters.
Like, in the recap here, I feel like it feels a little bit disjointed because I'm not, like, trying to tell you the whole movie. But they cut between a lot of stuff, but it flows pretty well because it'll be like setting the stakes for the next scene and stuff like that, introducing new characters.
Right when I got bored with one scene, it switched, which I liked.
Yeah. So we cut over to the police station and the police are starting to be like, oh no, something's going on because another Sarah Connor was murdered. So there's two Sarah Connors dead now. Ours is still alive. Our Sarah Connor gets stood up by her boyfriend. So she's like, all right, I'm going to go to a movie. She leaves the apartment and our other future boy, less jacked, no peen future boy, is following her.
For him to have a name. I really can't wait for him to have a name. What is superlative? You're talking about high school superlatives earlier.
So yeah, our future boy, no peen, follows her. She gets to like a pizza parlor. And wow, I feel really old saying the word pizza parlor. I don't know.
You
Do
said
people
that,
call that ever?
I don't know, but you said that word and I immediately thought of that shaker of white cheese and shaker of red pepper flakes.
Yes. So Sarah's at a pizza restaurant. She hears the news on the TV that another Sarah Connor was murdered. And she's like, oh my God, what the hell is going on? She leaves kind of in a nervous daze and notices that she's getting followed by future boy. As that's happening, the Terminator goes to our Sarah Connor's apartment. He breaks in and kills Matt and Ginger. Boom, dead.
Cold-blooded. Gone. Cold-blooded killer. I actually think he wasn't really trying to kill Matt until Matt annoyed him too much.
Yeah. He seemed to be fine just like ignoring him, basically.
He was just like kind of throwing him around and then he was like an annoying fly that kept coming back. To be honest, I was impressed with Matt because he was getting the shit kicked out of him. And he still kept coming back at the Terminator.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, he really fought to the
end. Crazy war robot from the future.
Yeah.
Ginger gets shot. We think, oh, hey, maybe this isn't as bad as it could be because maybe now Arnold thinks that Ginger was Sarah Connor, Nope, Sarah Connor blows it. She calls home right as this is happening, leaves a voicemail on her voice answering machine saying, "Hey, Ginger, this is Sarah. I'm at Tech Noir, blah, blah, blah." Like, she, like, gives Terminator all the info that he needs.
Bad timing.
Terminator also goes through all of her stuff and finds her license, so he finds out what she looks like.
Wah, wah, wah. Who goes to a bar without their license?
Great question. Maybe it wasn't her actual license, it was just another photo ID.
Maybe she doesn't get ID'd like I do. I have a baby face.
Sarah, as she's at this Tech Noir place, she also calls the police, and they're like, "Stay there, you're in public, you're safe, you're not gonna get messed up." JK, Terminator shows up. Sarah Connor sees Future Boy, who she thinks is after him. Terminator sees Sarah Connor, and he's like, "All right, I'm gonna murder you." Future Boy sees the Terminator, and he's like, "Oh God." And he just shoots him so much. He shoots him so many times.
Future Boy shoots the Terminator, who we don't know is a Terminator. Yeah,
Future Boy, no peen, shoots Arnold. Yes, peen. Lots of times. Sarah Connor's like, "What the hell is going on?" Future Boy comes up to her and he's like, "Come with me if you want to live." And she's like, "What is happening? I don't trust you. You're trying to kill me."
I forgot this movie had the origin of that line.
"Come with me if you want to live."
I feel like that people throw that around all the time, and I didn't realize that was this movie.
I don't think that's a reference to this movie as much as it's just an easy thing to say.
Yeah, but it had to come from somewhere.
I'm pretty sure that came from like 10,000 BCE, where somebody was like, "Yo, there are literally lions right over that hill. Come with me if you want to survive."
Where would you take me, though? I don't believe you.
Back to the village, up a tree? I don't know, man. Anyway, this starts a sequence of very impressive but very frequent car chase scenes. I really, really, going into this movie, did not anticipate there to be like probably 20 car chase scenes. It's insanity.
I would say like 35% of this entire movie is car chase.
And they're really, really well done, but like, it was not what I was expecting. I was expecting like Terminator walking down corridors while people run and there's like flickering lights. And that was surprisingly very little of the movie.
I would say that's pretty realistic though. If you had a Terminator pursuing you, probably the best chance of survival is just like fleeing in a car at all times.
Yeah.
And not fighting him hand to hand. So I actually appreciated that part.
Yeah, I actually wrote that too. It was very realistic that they were running away so often. I feel like that doesn't happen. I feel like a lot of action movies I've seen recently, they run away like once or twice. They like somehow stockpile a bunch of weapons or whatever, and then they win. Like, this one was just like running a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would be doing.
Which was pretty cool. So yeah, they run away. Future Boy and Sarah Connor get up into a car and they start driving away. The Terminator jumps onto the car, punches the windshield out, but then gets launched away. He then steals the police car and big ol' chase ensues, and this is when Future Boy Nopeen gets a name. His name is Reese, and he is here to protect her because she has been targeted for termination. Terminator gets on the radio, and he does the police dude's voice.
This is,
and we're
yeah.
like, whoa.
We can find out he mimics voices.
I didn't know Arnold had such a wide range of impersonations. I was really impressed with
That's how he got the gig. You know, I was imagining, you know how in Mrs. Doubtfire, Robin Williams is like, I do voices.
Yeah.
That's what Arnold did in his audition.
That's how he got selected to go back to the past. They were like, "All right, which robot volunteers to go to the past?" And he's like, "Guys, I got this. I've got voices on lock.
Want to see me lick a hot dog?"
What?
That's what Robin Williams said.
Oh!
And Mrs. Doubtfire, I do a great impression of a hot dog. He goes, oh.
Oh my God. Holy crap. And this is where we also hear Reese say, "He's not a man, he's a machine." Sarah's like, "You can't do that, they don't have the technology." And he's like, "Not yet, not for 40 years. Anyway, they hide in a car garage. And this is when we get some really fun backstory. Sarah's like, "Why me? What's going on? What the hell is happening?" And Reese is like, "Look, there was a nuclear war. I actually loved this. The defense network computers were put in charge of the missiles all around the world. And all at once," he said, like in the span of a microsecond, "they decided that all humans are a threat. And so they literally just nuked the world."
They want to exterminate all humans.
And he says that one man taught us how to fight. That man's name, John Connor. As this is happening, though, Terminator shows up to the car garage. He finds them. Another chase ensues. They shake him by having him crash into a wall. As they stop short and he's unable to, police catch up to them. Were you going to say something?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say, he also very clearly says that both the Terminator and himself, Reese, are from the future.
Thank you. Yeah, and he does a little proving it.
Yeah, and his goal is to keep Sarah alive so John Connor can be born and the future can be saved.
Exactly, yeah. Because the Terminator is trying to come back, kill Sarah, because then they think that would stop John from having this human uprising. So he came back to make sure that doesn't happen. The police finally catch Sarah and Reese. They bring them into custody, but the Terminator is able to get away. Reese is interviewed by a criminal psychologist, and then we play back this tape so we learn a little bit more. Meanwhile, the Terminator, we get a scene of him fixing himself, which was pretty badass. Some pretty cool practical effects there of, like, cutting his arm open and playing with his, like, metal tendons and stuff.
Yeah, that was actually really cool.
Pretty well done. I'll talk about this more. Some of the practical effects and, like, body double stuff were really solid, and others really kind of left me wanting. This
was one of the good 50-50, honestly. But his little mechanical tendons was cool. Also, for the record, I want to say that criminal psychologist was very unprofessional.
He sucked at his job.
Very unprofessional.
Yeah.
Called Reese a loon and also let Sarah, who is a victim in a crime, watch back this guy's interview.
About her getting murdered, basically.
Yeah.
About how she would be murdered.
Pretty much. Yeah. So, and if there was ever like some kind of like criminal court case that she had to testify for or whatever, one, shouldn't have showed her that video. Two, she's already traumatized. Why are you showing her this stuff?
Yeah, wasn't great.
He didn't appreciate him.
So yeah, like I said, they watch back the tapes and we get a little bit more of the backstory. It's important that they don't kill Sarah Connor because that would stop John Connor from being born. The criminal psychologist is like, well, why? Why don't they just stop him in the future? And it's because he had already like taught the humans how to fight back and the machines are trying to stop that.
They're saying it's too late to kill John Connor, basically, now. They want to just erase him from the future, from life, essentially. Yeah.
And apparently he already took down some defense grid, so he, like, super crippled the machine's ability to fight back against the humans in the future.
This is, like, their Hail Mary. This is the machine's Hail Mary.
So they build a time machine. They sent back Arnold, but right before...
Arnold is the Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers?
So then you have a great, like, he just, like, launches it at the end and... tries to
Hail Mary?
One. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
No?
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I didn't get that at first.
Do I know more about
the Hail Mary? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been a long day.
Yeah. So they sent back Arnold, but then the humans send back Reese, and then they blow up the time machine. So it's just Reese and the Terminator from the future that came to the past. We also get a scene here of the Terminator literally removing his eyeball. And like I said, this one wasn't that solid. The fake Arnold head was pretty weak.
Yeah, but you know what? Iconic eyeball, red eyeball look.
Which was really cool.
The iconic sunnies that he puts on to cover it up.
Yep.
That's a look right there.
And we also learn that Skynet didn't know anything about Sarah Connor besides that her name was Sarah Connor and she was from LA. And that's why they couldn't figure out which Sarah Connor to kill.
Yeah, all the records were destroyed in the nuclear war. Because at first I was kind of like, you think that these advanced robots would know where how to find her and they have a targeted mission. But so I appreciated them kind of explaining that piece.
Yeah, exactly. So the Terminator comes to the police station. He figures that's where Sarah's going to be. He tries to get in, and the police officer at the desk is like, no. And so he says, I'll be back. Oh, that was pretty weak. He leaves, and I was not expecting this. I really, really did not expect that this was what that phrase was in relation to. I figured it was going to be at the end of the movie, they thwarted him. He was going to go back to the future and be like, I'll be back. And that's like how they set up the sequel. No. He literally leaves, gets in his car, and drives it through the front of the police station, walks in, and just murders everyone. Besides Sarah and Reese.
The two that keep getting away. Sneaky, sneaky.
That was pretty wild. I really did not think that was what I'll Be Back was in reference to.
I like that you've been surprised by this. I also like that the Terminator is just a straight up battering ram with one goal, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't care.
And actually, in this scene, this is where I realized, and I watched for the rest of the movie, I think this is true, I don't think that Arnold ever blinked.
That's impressive.
Because throughout this scene, I was watching his eyeballs super carefully. I really don't think he blinked. Actually, it might not have been this one because he was wearing sunglasses. Might have been earlier.
I was going to say, I'm impressed that you can see through his shades.
But at some point earlier to this, I really don't think he blinks. I was impressed. He was like walking through smoke and stuff. Anyway. Reese gets Sarah Connor out. They get in a car. They drive out to Southern California somewhere. And they hide out under like a bridge. We get a little bit more backstory. Sarah Connor asks Reese, tell me about my son. And he says,
I would die for John Connor.
Yeah. And then he says that he actually volunteered to go back into the past because he wanted a chance to meet the legend who taught her son how to fight, who went into hiding before the war, all this stuff. And Sarah's feeling kind of down. She's like, I'm not a hero. I can't be doing this. And he says, your son gave me a message to give to you. Thank you for your courage through the dark years. And there's a little bit more, but that was the line that really stuck with me.
It was a long thing he memorized for her. It was like a full paragraph.
Yeah. Cut forward to another flash forward of Reese. He actually has a picture of Sarah Connor. And it's kind of setting the scene of like what it's like to be a human in this future. It's pretty not great. And in this flash forward, a Terminator actually finds the human hideout and seemingly kills a whole lot of people.
This is also the setup that like dogs can detect Terminators.
Yes.
Because the dogs go crazy when the Terminator approaches.
Yep.
And that actually gets carried out through the whole series.
Yeah, that came back importantly very soon. So Reese and Sarah go to a like motel. They check into a motel. Reese goes to get supplies. And while he's gone, Sarah calls her mom to be like, hey, you got to go. You got to hide. You got to go to the cabin. You got to keep yourself safe. And her mom's like, well, you got to let me know where you are so that I can call in case, you know, something happens. I'm worried about you.
Yeah.
As this is happening, it's kind of panning through the cabin. And we very quickly realize that Sarah is not talking to her mom. She is talking to the Terminator who murdered her mom and who is impersonating her. And so Sarah really tells the Terminator exactly where she is.
This is why he needed to do the voices.
It's good they brought Robin Williams back. So Reese gets his supplies and they start making a bomb.
Some couples play Scrabble. Some couples, you know, cook together, watch a movie. They make bombs.
This is also where Reese says partially why he came back to the past. Well, he kind of loves Sarah Connor. He built her up as this legend, this hero in her head, and he's gotten her through some dark times.
He stared at her picture.
Stared at her picture, yeah. And they do it.
No other way to put it, really.
Yeah.
Bow chicka wow wow.
Yep. Next morning, they are at the motel still, and a dog is barking like crazy. Terminator found them. He kicks the door down and just starts shooting. Luckily, the dog gave them enough warning that they are able to get away, get into the car, drive away. Another car chase scene, this time with bombs.
Yeah, fun to get to launch bombs through the sunroof at people. Yeah,
and at one point, Sarah's driving while Reese is leaning out the driver's side window, chucking them at him. It was pretty exciting. Unfortunately, Reese is shot, and Sarah's driving. She's trying to keep control of the truck that they're in and ends up running the Terminator, who's on a motorcycle, off the road, but unfortunately flips their pickup truck. Reese is in terrible shape. Terminator's trying to get them, and he actually gets run over by an 18-wheeler. He's fine, gets in the 18-wheeler, and tries to run them off the road.
I like that as a choice for murder weapon.
18-wheeler?
Yeah, you know, I wish Clue had an option for 18-wheeler in there.
Yeah. So the 18-wheeler is like an oil tanker. The Terminator's driving after Sarah Connor. Reese jumps up, grabs one of the bombs, shoves it into the exhaust pipe of the 18-wheeler, and it explodes. Terminator gets out and slumps to the ground on fire. We think this has to be it. There's no way he's alive. Well, psych, he's completely fine. This is where we now just get full metal Terminator.
Yeah.
No skin,
all his skin,
no muscle,
melts off.
Nothing, just metal. They run behind a very convenient factory, very heavy metal door, into what I thought was like a kind of poetic set piece. It was a robotic factory where like robots were making all of the parts.
Yeah.
And then the Terminator chased them there. I thought that was kind of cool.
Very lucky that. Place to be. I also don't understand. Reese turned all the machines on. He said it'll be to confuse the Terminator.
I think because then, like, the motion and the noise and stuff would just be so much, he wouldn't be able to pinpoint them.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what? He had a good strategy. When Sarah was running away from the Terminator, she didn't even try to swerve.
No, she just ran.
She just ran straight, you know? And we all know that's a bad strategy.
Well, that's why they sent him back.
Yeah. And then, meanwhile, though, Reese, he's like, oh, yeah, let's get him distracted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I was confused by that tells me I would probably just be a Sarah Connor in the moment and just run straight.
So they run into the factory. Sarah trips and turns on this big hydraulic press, which will come back momentarily. They're running away from the Terminator. He's kind of beat up, so he's not going that fast. He catches up to them, but Reese does the old bomb in the ribcage gag.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Classic. And kills the Terminator. Well, we think.
Yeah, well, Sarah gets blown up. She has a Palmetto out of her leg.
Yeah, she gets a Terminator piece in her leg.
Reese is
terminated.
R.I.P.
And
pour one out for Reese.
We think the Terminator's dead. Nope, J-Play. He is so determined, he's just crawling after her.
Yeah, his legs are blown off.
Yep.
His torso and his arms are still alive.
Sarah crawls into that hydraulic press I just mentioned, gets out of it. The Terminator followed her in. She turns it on, presses him. And she says, you're terminated, F-word.
I did like this scene, too, because she, like, pulls a metal grate down so the Terminator can't get out. But he sticks his arm through, and he's, like, choking her. And
yeah.
She presses the thing to get him crushed.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I kind of liked it.
So, she kills him. We cut forward, presumably about 4 months, I would say. Because Sarah is driving, making some tape, talking to, well, we figure out it's her son, her unborn son, because she's got a big, big mommy belly. So maybe more than 4 months. That was actually pretty big, probably about 6 months. She had a big pregnant mommy belly. But not too big?
I have no idea what stage of pregnancy she was at. She was pregnant.
She was showing.
I'm no expert in what stage of belly development people should be in or what they look like, so.
So she's presumably in Mexico, it seemed like.
Mommy belly. Oh my God.
She has a gun on her lap and a dog in the back. And
dope sunglasses.
Pretty dope sunglasses. She goes to this gas station and ends up having her picture taken, which is the exact picture that Reese had in the future. And then I actually hated this ending line. She's like talking to this little kid in Spanish, but she doesn't speak Spanish. So she asks this other dude, what did he say? And he says, he said there's a storm coming in. And she, like, looks all seriously at the horizon. And she's like, I know. And puts her sunglasses on and drives away. It's like, oh, God, little on the nose there.
Oh, I would totally do that if I was her. Are you kidding? That would be my moment, you know?
But presumably, she's going into hiding because she knows all this stuff is about to happen. The nukes are going to go off. So she's going into hiding so that she can have her baby, train him up, and he can be the father of the revolution. John Connor.
Oh, wow.
What a whirlwind. That's the Terminator.
I actually really loved the whole storyline.
It was pretty good.
I'm not going to lie. I love the whole storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good.
I don't even care that you know Reese is going to be the dad of John Connor the whole time. I still enjoy the plot twist every time, even though I know it's coming.
I hate it because I don't think time works like that. Well, it depends on how you look at time. If time is just like a human construct and time, every action has always happened and always will happen, then this makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't matter though, as long as this story sticks to their way of time travel.
It's just, it's not possible that Sarah's baby daddy is from the future. That determinism just doesn't work unless you have a very interesting view of time. It just, it's a tough one to swallow. But it was still a pretty fun movie.
I'm fine as long as they follow the same time travel rules throughout.
Well, that's the thing. If any of the future movies allow that time to be changed. So, like, if Reese, for some reason, in some future, like, in the sequel, doesn't go back in time, then this is all just screwed up. It doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, so that could be the new Terminator's plot in another movie, is not let Reese go back.
Could be.
They could target the dad instead of Sarah.
But it does seem like John Connor, because she explicitly says, like, I'll probably tell you who your dad is. So it seemed like John Connor knew that Reese was his dad, and that's why he gave him the picture and all that. John Connor seems like a pretty chill dude.
That was very heavily implied, that John knew that Reese was his dad.
Yeah. Which really, like I said, I think that make, makes me respect John. He seems like a chill dude, like looking out for his future dad, who's also kind of his friend.
Yeah, I mean, what a great time to have a relationship with your dad. You get to both be in your 20s together, you when, know?
They might have known each other when they were like 7. Also, Reese's full name is Kyle Reese, but I'm going to refer to him as Reese because I'm Kyle.
You, like, every time she called his name Kyle, you like flinched.
Yeah.
You didn't like it.
That's my name.
Anyway, so this is your first time watching it. What did you like?
Okay, this is the thing I like most about it. I looked up some info on the movie because I was just interested. I enjoyed it, and I like I said, I wanted to get a little bit more information about like the world that they were building and stuff. But I saw on the Wikipedia page that the way that James Cameron, it's not, they're not both alliteration. James Cameron got his inspiration for this movie is fantastic. So it on Wikipedia it said, in Rome, Italy, during the release of Piranha 2, The Spawning, director Cameron fell ill and had a dream about a metallic torso holding kitchen knives dragging itself from an explosion. Can you imagine having that dream and then waking up and being like, hey, it's really lucky that I am a Hollywood movie director because I can now make this dream reality?
He literally turned his dreams into reality.
That's crazy.
Not a lot of people do that.
He did not let his dreams be dreams.
I would have forgotten it. I would have woken up and been like, that was crazy. And then 2 seconds later been like, what did I dream?
Yeah, especially if he was sick, you know? He, like, had the wherewithal to, like, write it down and stuff. Pretty crazy.
Well, then he literally built an entire world out of it.
Yeah.
What a badass image. One fever image. Dream. We always talk about fever dreams, and this is really a fever dream.
Yeah.
It felt like a fever dream watching it a little bit.
Yeah, one thing I didn't love about this movie was it was pretty cut heavy. Like, when, especially in action sequence, it did a lot of cuts. Like, lots of different perspectives and stuff. It was a little exhausting at times.
I would agree with that. I didn't mind, like, the cutscenes in the beginning, but with the action sequences, it was kind of hard sometimes for me to, like, follow it with my brain.
Yeah, jumped around eyes. A lot.
Yeah.
And then it was made a little bit, like, that was a little bit frustrating because some of the scenes were actually, like, a little bit needlessly long. Like, after Reese shoves the dynamite into the truck, it, like, tries to tease you for like 15 seconds, like, oh, is it gonna blow up? Is he gonna drive over Sarah Connor? And you're like, no, obviously he's not. Just blow the thing up so we can move on with our lives.
Oh my god. I would say the pacing of this movie was pretty good until the last 20 minutes. And then it really, I think, dragged, to be honest.
Yeah, because I think at that point, and maybe this is just because, like, now there's so many action movies that we kind of know how they're gonna end, so we've gotten used to it. Maybe when this movie came out, that wasn't as much the case, but, like, we all knew what was going to happen. They were building the suspense. It was waiting for some interesting plot scene area for us to have the big showdown, and then they'll win. Probably Reese is going to die. We, like, knew that was going to be happening for a pretty good amount of time, and it just took a little while to get there. But it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad. Especially for, like, a very early 80s action movie, I was pretty impressed. A lot of this stuff was really solid. It held up really nicely. Like I said, it was really heavy on the car chase scenes, but they were pretty damn good.
I appreciate
the stunt driving was great.
I feel like that was all, like, actually done with the cars for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. Those were people in cars doing crazy things. And it was really cool.
No, it showed and it held up.
I think the majority of this movie's budget was spent on cars and locking down LA for them to drive around.
Probably. That makes sense to me.
Probably also why they had a lot of night scenes, because it was cheaper to close down the roads.
And it made it more heebie-jeebie, you know?
Yeah, heebie-jeebie.
Heebie-jeebie vibes.
But yeah, it was cool. The stunt driving in this movie was wicked impressive. That really stood out to me. There's something about it, like, they had a lot of outside-of-the-car shots. I feel like a lot of action movies now have, like, a lot of inside-the-car shots where, like, it's kind of obvious they're in front of a green screen and the actor's just, like, jerking themselves around like they're pretending that they're in a car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these were a lot of shots outside of the car showing crazy action and, like, dangerous stunts and stuff like that. It was fun.
Yeah,
it was really fun.
You're really true. That's actually a really good point. There was not a lot of in-the-car shots really at all.
Yeah, and it also wasn't crazy over the top where, like, the cars were flipping and there was tons of explosions. It was really just, like, them stealing cars, driving really fast in them, the cars getting progressively more and more beat up, and then, like, the end of the scene happening.
Yeah. I like when they did flip the car, that was it. Like, they had to get out of the car and leave. You know, it wasn't like, oh my god, it's gonna roll back on its wheels and they're gonna still take off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that was the end of that car chase. Or, like, they hit the wall, the concrete wall, and they didn't just magically, the car wasn't still running. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, we're done now. The police are here. We have to get out.
But yeah, like I said, I really in absolutely no way thought that this movie was going to have as much stunt driving as it did and as high quality stunt driving as it did. And I'm happy about it. It actually worked really well for me.
Mm-hmm.
Related to that, I was really happy and I thought it was realistic that they were running away so much. I liked, like, it made you buy that the Terminator was very scary. Like, obviously we watched him murder all these people and stuff like that. But, like, the fact that the soldier that the human specifically sent back to fight the robot was so terrified of him that he kept running away. I thought that that helped add to the mystery and the intrigue of our main villain.
Mm-hmm. I would say, too, I feel like the whole way that Sarah handled the Terminator coming for her was very believable. And I really liked that. Like, she noticed someone was following her, tried to call the cops.
Yeah.
Tried to call her friends. Didn't just immediately believe Reese when he was like, come with me if you want to live. And he's telling the story about the future. She's kind of scared and you can tell she's still scared of the Terminator, but she totally doesn't trust Reese yet at all either. And then when they get caught with the cops, she's like telling the cops everything that had happened to her and she's working with the police. She's not just immediately just like, you have to let him go. He's trying to save me. You know what I mean?
But daddy, I love him.
Exactly. Like, it takes the Terminator coming back to the police station and mowing down every single cop in the building for her to be like, okay, I'm bought in now.
Yep.
Like, I felt like there was a very natural progression of her trying to kind of trust in her world as she saw it and like go to the police and then slowly coming around to the fact like, oh no, this is serious. There's no way this guy is actually a human. He's not just Arnold Schwarzenegger on PCP as the cops are telling me he is. Like, he's been shot so many times now, like, he is a machine. This is real. This is happening, you know?
Yeah. And I like how they tried to explain away some of the stuff. Like, the movie preempted a couple of the plot holes that you might try to pick in it by like explaining it in universe and then taking it away. Like, the police were like, see this? This is a bulletproof vest. He was probably wearing one of these, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, how was he able to punch through the windshield? Well, he was on PCP, you know? Like, I liked that. And like you were saying, I think one of the strongest parts of Sarah Connor's writing, she is not an idiot.
No.
She is not stupid. She's not a damsel in distress. She's getting hunted for sure. She needs a dude to save her. But that's because the stakes are so high. And he is a highly trained future boy, you know, like,
with information about the enemy, right? He knows about him and things like that. I don't think it has to do with a dude saving her. It's just 100%. Having an ally, you know?
And he even says, like, Reese says the women in the future are like warriors or something like that, right? He's like, they're tough. So, like, I would believe that you could have sent back some badass woman from the future and she would have done just as a good job.
But she couldn't impregnate Sarah.
She couldn't.
We need John Connor.
We do need that. But I like that. Like, if this was a horror movie, like just a straight up like thriller, I don't think Sarah Connor would have like gone into the basement where the spooky murderer was last seen or something. You know, she was well written. She was smart. She was looking out for herself. She had realistic reactions. She was using her resources. It was good.
And also, she did learn throughout the movie. Like, at first, she's not used to being hunted. She's just living her life and being a waitress and having fun with her roommate, right?
Yep.
But she learns how to survive and learns how to make a bomb. And, you know, she ends up driving the car a lot in the car chase scenes towards the end, right? So I feel like you see her progress into someone who's very quickly learning a lot of survival skills.
And it never seemed like something that she shouldn't be capable of.
Mm-hmm.
It always seemed like the stakes are high and she was able to like stay cool, calm, collected. And then usually after those big tense scenes, she had very human reactions where she was like crazy stressed out or like, you know, relieved or whatever. Like when the truck explodes, she's like taking huge gasps of relief and stuff. Like, I don't know. I said in the opening, I was hoping that Sarah Connor would deliver. And I think the way that they wrote her and how she was acted was really solid. I'm like even more impressed by it than I thought I was going to be, because actually in my head, I thought she was going to be much more part of the action and like saving herself, which she was. But she wasn't like some like gun toting, like adventure maniac.
Yeah.
It was very human and realistic for me.
I think if I remember correctly about the second one, it's a little bit more of that, but that makes sense because she's had time to, like, train.
Yeah, like, she specifically is learning how to do that.
Exactly. Because I Googled Terminator 2 today just mm-hmm. And I looked at, like, the images on there, and, like, I definitely know the second would be better, but she's like, wearing, like, a badass, like, black muscle tee with, like, a gun over her shoulder.
Yeah.
She's, like, jacked and stuff, and that's the second one. But that at least makes sense for her character after, like, 12 years that go by. They should be training her whole life.
Yeah.
To survive, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I think they built a great world. She was a good character. It was very, like, complete feeling, which I liked a lot. It was fun. It was a good watch.
No, it felt complete, and I feel like they introduced so much of a new world, and it still didn't feel, like, too long.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like the appropriate amount of time to introduce a new world, have action, and have, like, a resolved story, but also leaving room for future movies.
You know what I mean? Definitely.
Yeah, I also think they did a good job of letting you know a little bit about the world as the movie began, so mm-hmm. It wasn't just like, here's exactly what's happening, go. You know what I mean? You kind of learned with Sarah, and they had a lot of, like, heavy foreshadow as to, like, what was going to happen, but it wasn't just like, you got little bits and pieces here and there, little tastes of it, you know?
It was a movie that you could enjoy and digest all in one take. You know, some of those movies, you have to watch it more than once. Like, the first time you watch it, you're like, what the hell happened?
Inception.
I really enjoyed it, but I literally have no idea what the hell just happened.
That was me in Inception. I had to watch it again to fully appreciate it.
Yeah, then the second time you're like, oh, okay, I know these words now. I get it.
Or Interstellar. Had to watch that one twice, like, to fully get it.
Donnie Darko, right?
Yeah.
You know? But it did a good job of making it very enjoyable on just a single watch.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of hard sometimes when you're building such a deep world, as they were attempting to. But I also, on that note, love how they set up for a sequel without having some really dumb cliffhanger ending or something.
Yeah.
This is a complete film. They could have had no more stuff after this, and you would have been like, Terminator was dope.
Yeah. I like that too, because I feel like that just shows you have a strong story, though.
Yep.
That you don't need to rely on a cliffhanger to get people's interest. You're like, I want to see more about this world, and there's still more to come. But we're at a very good stopping point. This is a good bookend to have, you know?
Yeah. So do you have any other likes, or can we move on to potential dislikes?
No, I have a lot more likes. You kidding me?
Do it. Hit me with them.
For one, love the usage of dogs as a harbinger of Terminators coming.
Harbinger.
Harbinger? Harbinger?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been saying that wrong my whole life. Anyway, I like that they're the warning signs. They really are man's best friend.
German Shepherds, too.
I know, my favorites.
Yep.
So I just like that piece. And also, this is kind of carried out through all of the future movies.
It worked nicely. Mm-hmm. They didn't overdo it. It, like, was used the one time they needed it. And then Sarah has her dog with her and stuff, like, showing she learned. But it wasn't, like, over the top, slapping you in the face.
Yeah, well, the dog barked at it at the hotel, and then in the future flash, like, the dogs are barking.
Yeah.
And at the end, she has a dog with her, yeah.
Yeah.
But I did like that, and that does carry on, so I do like that continuity. Also loved Pugsley the iguana.
Yeah.
I love that Sarah had a pet iguana.
Yeah. Named Pugsley. I really was expecting a pug.
Also goes to show she's a little badass, that she loves a reptile, and that's her chosen pet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What happened to Pugsley?
I was actually thinking that as I was going through the recap.
Did she not bring him to Mexico?
I like to imagine that he was just, like, in the back chilling with the pup.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like seeing unique pets.
Yeah.
I like to see the iguana on the screen.
Yeah.
So those are my likes. I also had some other likes, obviously. I liked Sarah Connor's character. I liked how it was a pretty realistic reaction of them kind of running away.
Yeah, for sure.
From the Terminator at all times. I loved all the 80s fashion.
I didn't.
Loved all of the 80s fashion. She had a cute, like, pink and white tie-dye top on that was long sleeve with some high-waisted jeans that were tight in the butt and loose on the bottom. Loved that look. I liked, the actual character of the Terminator. I thought that really made the movie.
Yeah, it was really good.
You can tell he really only had one goal and didn't care about anything but killing Sarah. Nothing could stop him. He was very, like, systematic about hunting her down.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that terrible movie, It Follows.
I haven't seen it.
We watched it together.
I have seen it.
It's like that, like, thing just follows you and only can walk at a pace, but it's always walking towards you, and it, like, will finally get to you and kill you if you don't run away from it.
I don't remember it all.
Oh, well, this is kind of like, what, I feel like this is like the OG version where like the Terminator is literally unstoppable. Mm-hmm. It will spend its entire existence trying to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, and you see that he doesn't care about charging a police station and he doesn't care about, you know, going to a bar and opening fire. Like, it doesn't matter for him.
No cost is too high.
Exactly. Because he has nothing to lose and yeah. he can't die. So that, like you said, it made it like a very scary character. And I think Arnold did such a good job playing that.
Honestly, I think it's easy to overlook. Arnold Schwarzenegger played the Terminator really well. He acted great in this film. Like I said, I really don't think he blinked. He had
showed zero emotion.
I think it's easy to write off how easy it would be to like get on in front of a camera and show no emotion like that. It's not easy. That's not easy at all.
Well, one of the things I noticed, they were talking about, oh, he has no remorse. Like, you can't bargain with him. You can't plead with him. And that definitely shone through. But another thing that shone through for me that showed he had no emotion was he didn't even get angry when they escaped.
Yeah,
he just kept going. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which I think you expect from a villain who keeps getting thwarted or people keep running away. They get frustrated and they punch a wall or they get mad or they yell, right? Yep. None of that ever.
He was just creative and finding new ways to continue on and get to his target.
Yeah. So, like, I thought that was awesome, and I just loved his character by, like, yeah. literally just being, like, a non-human. Like, it was very believable for me that he was a machine on the inside.
It was cool the couple of scenes that we got from his perspective, too, where we got to see, like, the red eyesight that he had with, like, the computer writing over it. It was cool. It was nice, like, showing that to show you, like, how he was working and, I guess, his reasoning or whatever. It was very, yeah. very good. I also like that there was only one. I think it would have been cheapened or less impactful if there was like 8 Terminators, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no way they could have kept escaping if there was 8 Terminators.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't have survived. Speaking of like seeing his inner workings, I love the scene where that guy was talking, the janitor was talking to him through the door.
Yeah.
And you could see his brain calculating a response, then he landed on F you, asshole.
Yeah.
Which I just love that scene.
Which is actually what one of the punks said to him earlier in the movie when he asked for their clothes, I think.
Yeah, he like learns from other people's communication, which I thought yeah. was cool. It like shows that he's actively like absorbing knowledge and adapting, which was cool.
Yeah. He's a great villain.
Yeah, and I just love this scene, like you said, of like his inner workings, like his arm being cut open and seeing all the machine parts move around. That was really cool. And I also liked that although it was very action heavy and there was a lot of bodily injuries, it honestly wasn't very gory.
Yeah.
And I actually enjoyed that about this movie.
Even they showed a little realistic blood, but not much more.
Mm-mm. No, not all the insides that you should have been seeing.
Yeah.
So.
And it wasn't over the top bloody, like when somebody got shot, there's blood spray everywhere. There's just like kind of bloody wounds.
They didn't show like any blood really at yeah. all. So, and I do like that because I think it made it an accessible action movie.
Yeah.
That still had high stakes because people were dying, but they didn't have to kind of go into the gore, which is, I mean, fine either way. It's just like, I'm not really a fan of too much gore. So yeah. I did like that about it.
I think that's, I personally like that in most movies, but especially in like sci-fi action movies, like, you know, I think in Star Wars, like you don't really see like blood. It's just like laser blasts and stuff. But it like, I don't know. To me, it just makes it a little more solid.
The one place I actually enjoy and appreciate gore is in any like war film.
Yeah.
I like when people show that war is actually pretty terrible and gory and people are actually dying and it's horrendous. You know what I mean?
1917.
Yeah.
Did a great job at that.
But I don't think it's super necessary in a lot of other sci-fi movies and things like that, you know?
Yeah. Because it's not really glorifying something that could actually happen to you for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are my likes. A lot of likes.
So, a couple of nitpicks. Maybe not nitpicks, more edging on dislike. I was actually, so I talked about, and I've said this a ton of times in a bunch of different movies, older movies are really carried by their practical effects more than their special effects typically.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, special effects in this movie were pretty solid. And actually, at times, potentially almost too much, the practical effects let me down.
Hmm.
So they had like it seemed like stop motion robot of the Terminator walking in some scenes. And it didn't look good.
It took me out of it, to be honest.
And it wasn't the quality of the model. It was literally they just didn't have like a high enough frame rate of the animations. It was too jerky.
It looked like he was under like a strobe light.
Yeah, it really, it was kind of not good.
I have that in
But
there.
Some parts were wonderful. Like when he was crawling, like the severed torso crawling at her, for whatever reason, that looked wonderful. It was... it didn't have that weird frame rate issue. It was well done. So I'm like, part of me is like, what the hell were they doing? Why did they phone it in on these scenes? And why were they able to have a really good view in these scenes?
That was probably a scene you were supposed to have your 3D glasses on.
Maybe. I don't think so, though.
I think so.
Yeah, it was kind of poopy. And then, like I said, too, some of the prosthetics and stuff that they used for when the Terminator was, like, surgerying himself or, like, decaying or whatever, some of them were wonderful and some of them were just literally downright awful.
It was just the one scene with the eyeball where he took his eyeball out.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad. You could tell that was not actually Arnold's face.
Yeah, it was really not good. And it was kind of disappointing because, like, it is an old movie, 1983, but, like...
84.
Thank you, 84. But, like, Star Wars is much older and was much better done. Like, so, I'm not saying, like, oh, wow, what are you doing? You should be like Star Wars. I'm more saying, like, the technology was there. Clearly, people at the time were capable of doing enough movie magic. This one just didn't deliver at some parts.
Yeah. I'm wondering, though, if we watched the second one, which came out not too much longer after, if they had a bigger budget for a lot of that, because it was popular and they knew it was going to be successful.
I'd imagine they would.
I really want to watch the second one now.
Judgment Me too, Day. Honestly. And then the soundtrack was future-y. It was using a lot of, like, synthy sounds and stuff, but it was kind of lacking.
I loved it.
It was okay. I think a lot of times it was more ambiance than an actual soundtrack, which I think is fine, but it wasn't that good.
I liked it that it was ambiance, though, because it definitely had the 80s kick to it as well, which I enjoyed. But I liked that it was ambiance because it didn't pull you out. It just, like, perfectly kind of went alongside the action and you weren't sucked out of it. I like that there was no lyrical music.
Definitely, definitely would have been bad with any lyrical. I think it's possible to put something a little bit more melodic in that ambiance science-y music, and this movie didn't have it. It had it at a couple of scenes, actually. Like the at the beginning of the police, when he was going into the police
station.
Station, thank you. And like shooting it all up and stuff. I think there was a pretty solid song there, but a lot of the music kind of left me a little wanting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one of my nitpickier ones is the sound mixing was pretty bad. And maybe actually it's a negative. Some of the choices were just interesting. So in the opening, Reese is like running away from the cops and he's like hiding behind these like racks in a department store and stuff. And even when he wasn't on screen or was far off screen, you could hear his breathing as if he was like right in front of the camera. It was just like interesting sound design decisions. And I also think they could have had a little bit better futuristic special effect sounds.
Like the laser sounds and everything?
Yeah, or like the airship thing that was in the future and stuff. Like, I think they could have done a little bit better in some of those scenes. But it wasn't terrible. It was interesting to me that I actually thought the sound mixing, the sound design of this film was probably the weakest part of it.
Honestly, I didn't even notice it, but I have to pay attention to that more, I think. It didn't take me out of it, at the very least.
It definitely didn't take me out of it, but I think where it fell short is it wasn't sucking me into it enough. I'm sorry to keep using this experience or example.
It's going to be a Star Wars example.
The Star Wars sound design is so damn good. Like, I bet you can imagine and hear the sound of an X-Wing flying right now. Or, like, the laser sounds. Or the sound of the Death Star ramping up and ramping down as Obi-Wan's pulling on it, right? Like, you can imagine all those sounds because they're just so damn good and iconic and perfect for what that situation was. This movie didn't have any of that, and I think it would have added to the world building a lot if they were able to have a little bit better science fiction-y sounds and also cleaned up some of that sound design. Like, there's no reason to hear Reese breathing so hard when he's not on screen.
I'm interested to see what changes for the second movie, though.
Higher budget, yeah.
Because James Cameron was kind of a nobody, and this was also kind of Arnold's breakout role, you know?
I definitely get the sense that he was learning how to make movies a little bit still.
It's still pretty solid, though.
It's definitely solid. Like, I definitely ranted a little bit there. It's more a place where, especially when you look back and you compare it to some of its current peers in the science fiction space, that I think this movie falls most notably short in terms of how it aged is the sound design. What about you, though? Is anything there that kind of sticks out for you?
You mentioned some of the things, like some of the effects weren't great. And then also the pacing at the end, like it dragged a little bit for me. There's a lot of fake outs of the Terminator not actually being dead. And I was like, okay, is he really dead this time? You know? Yeah. So that was kind of annoying to me, but it wasn't like horrid. I feel like Back to the Future kind of dragged a little bit more at the end there with the final scene.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't at that level with this scene.
It was not anywhere near as exhausting too.
No, but the Terminator was supposed to die. Like he finally died like third time as a charm.
Yep.
You know? So, but I was waiting for his like hand twitch or something at the end. You know what I mean? The only other dislike I have that you haven't really mentioned is I didn't like super like the love story. I didn't mind that Reese was John Connor's dad. That was fine. I just didn't like the whole, I stared at your picture for years and I came back because I was in love with you.
Honestly, I didn't mind that part. What I didn't like is that Sarah Connor's recording her tape to future John. And she says, I only knew him, or we only knew each other for a few hours, but we loved a lifetime's worth. I really hated that part.
Yeah, but that's the whole, that's the same thing. Like, that all ties together for me. That whole, like, I don't know. I think I would have just liked it more if they went through a traumatic event and they banged because they survived and, you know, they were bonded.
I have no problem with them doing it. And I don't have a problem with Reese, you know, idolizing this woman who he has a picture of and, like, thinking of a better time and hope and stuff. And so, you know, turning that into what he thinks is love emotion for her. I don't care about that. The way that it read to me was that it was 1984 and it was improper for a lady to have sex with a man just because. And so she has to love him.
I didn't get that vibe because Ginger was doing whatever she wanted at the beginning of the movie.
With her boyfriend.
I, were they together?
Yeah.
It seemed like a friend with benefits.
I don't know. It seemed to me like they had to include a line about Sarah being in love with him for like audiences to not like poo-poo the fact that they had sex, basically. That's kind of how it felt to me.
I didn't get that vibe at all. I just thought it was like over the top.
Yeah.
In general, for them to be declaring love after literally like 2 days together.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. I don't need love stories shoehorned into everything. I don't need there to be a reason for consenting adults to have sex. This movie would have been better without them trying to make it about love.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should have just, wow, that was a pretty crazy experience.
Yeah, stakes were already high enough.
Like, I have no problem with like the whole John Connor's dad is from the future type subplot. I actually think that's actually pretty cool. I just wasn't into the whole, I love this woman that I saw in a picture for years and built up in my mind. And she was all, let me tell you about your dad on the tape. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't need it.
But I don't really have anything else, I don't think.
That was it. That was it for me.
Yeah. Really, the big ones are, the love scene was blah. The pacing at the end definitely struggled a little bit. And then disappointing practical effects at times. They were made more disappointing because the movie proved to us that it could do a better job and on some scenes just did a bad job.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating. I feel like I'm one of my middle school teachers. I know you're capable of more.
I'm just disappointed. Yeah. I'm just disappointed in you.
But anyway, what did you think of this one? What is your vote? Wine or milk? How did it age?
For me? I mean, I know you pointed out some practical effects stuff, but honestly, like, with the story and the world building, and it sucked me in. Yeah, some of the effects didn't age well, but it was a wine for me. I really want to watch the second one after this.
Yeah, definitely parts of it didn't age well. But honestly, this movie was more ambitious in a lot of places, so it set itself up to not age well. I'm sure at the time in 1984, a lot of this was really impressive. And, like, people went to the movies and were like, holy crap, how did they do that, you know? And most importantly for me, they had a strong leading lady and did a responsible, good job with her. It's a wine for me as well. It was fun. It was a good watch. Enough of it held up that it doesn't completely ruin the film. It's not flawless by any mean, but it's good. It's a good movie. And like you said, I want to watch more of this universe. So I think it's a wine.
This podcast is it flawless? Is it a wine or milk? Did you enjoy it or did you not enjoy it?
No, I know. No, it's, did it age well or did it not age well?
I vote with my gut on that one. Did I enjoy it or not, you know?
Yeah.
All these years later, did I enjoy it? Yeah, I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's an icon.
I definitely enjoyed it. I didn't really roll my eyes at it that much, which I think is pretty good for an older action movie. And it was fun. It had pretty good characters. Oh, one thing I kind of glossed over. I think Reese wasn't the strongest either written. I think he maybe was directed to try and be like stoic and like closed off, or he didn't act it that well. But I believe that he was, I actually think the direction given to Reese's character was a little bit weak. Because at times he came off a little bit too robotic, which I think was a design choice, but I didn't love. But everything else was great. The acting was really good. A lot of the practical effects held up. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It's a win.
I took it as he was in survival mode. He literally came in and was immediately in crisis, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I would have liked to see a little bit more range of emotion, but pretty nitpicky. Whew! So yeah, I had a lot of fun. I would definitely recommend this. If somehow, like me, you haven't seen it before and you like action and or sci-fi, definitely give it a watch. It was fun, and I think you'll enjoy enough of the world building that you'll probably also want to like consume more of this world like I do.
And if you have seen it and you want to see Peak Arnold, give it a watch.
Or Peen Arnold.
Sure. Sure, that too. Or just like a good movie, you know, give it a watch.
Don't watch it with your kids. There's boobies. There's butts. There's penises. There's swearing. There's lots of Fs.
Lots of guns.
And lots of, yeah, don't watch it with your kids.
I was like really young when I first saw this movie. But I turned out fine.
It's not that bad, especially like you said, because there isn't a lot of gore, but there is a good amount of swearing. It's definitely was aiming to be like an adult movie.
Watch the TV edited version, you know? That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that was The Terminator.
What are we watching next?
So for my pick, I'm going as far into the future as we have done yet. 2001, I'm nominating us to watch A Knight's Tale. Heath Ledger. Lots of other people. Alan Tudyk, the guy who plays the King Robert in Game of Thrones. Other people.
It's pretty funny. I remember this one.
I love this movie. When I one of my fondest memories of watching this movie, and actually one of my fondest memories of being alive, is when I watched this for the first time with my dad. We knew it was like going to be a comedy and stuff, but we didn't expect the kind of like satire comedy that it was, because it opens up with "We Will Rock You." Yeah, and at first it's just like playing "We Will Rock You," and you're like, oh cool, but then you notice that the people in the stands are actually like pounding along to it and stuff, and it just like really got us and set the tone for the movie. And I just remember loving it, thinking it's hilarious. Heath Ledger, god, what a talent. I mourn him all the time. So yeah, I'm excited to watch this. It's one of my favorites from when I was a kid. My dad and I watched this like a ton of times.
I'm just shocked that if you're going to the 2000s already, your nomination isn't Shrek.
I know, I was actually thinking of Shrek, but no, I really, probably more because I've watched Shrek more recently, which is kind of awkward to admit. But I haven't seen A Knight's Tale in at least 5 years. So I miss watching this one and I want to watch it again. I'm excited to revisit the nostalgia of this one.
I feel like you just want to watch this movie.
That's 100% why I'm nominating it. I want to watch this movie. Yes.
Either way, I'm excited. It's a good one. It's a good one.
It's a really good one. I can actually think of a lot of the music that was in this movie. The Boys Are Back in Town, We Will Rock You, Golden Years. There's a lot of like good songs. But anyway, join us next week. January 11th, Monday, January 11th, 2021. Ew, what? Where did 2020 go?
No, God. Thank God. Are you kidding? I don't have an ew reaction.
It just feels like January 11th, 2020 was yesterday. But anyway, January 11th, 2021, we will be watching A Knight's Tale. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. If you like what you hear, if you have any comments for us, we'd love if you would reach out and let us know. You can reach us on Twitter, at WinerMilk. On Instagram at WinerMilkPodcast. Our email is WinerMilkPodcast@gmail.com. Our Facebook is Facebook.com/WinerMilk. I'm missing one. What am I missing?
We have a website, www.WinerMilkPodcast.com. And you can always rate, review, and subscribe if you like what you're hearing.
Yes. Thank you for the assist there. And definitely, if you have any movies that are really nostalgic for you that you would like us to watch, we're always taking recommendations for our listener episodes. So please do let us know. And as well as if you think we got it wrong on any of these classics. So please reach out. We'd love to hear from you. But have a wonderful day. We hope your new year is starting off really well. And talk to you soon.
Happy New Year. Take care.
We'll be back. Right?
God. Oh my God. Get me out of here.